Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the weekend webinar. It's not a webinar, it's a podcast. I messed up there on the first sort of sentence. But, joining me is Colin, Barry and Dick. Sorry, I messed up again there, sorry. Joining me is Peter and Steve. Paddy's supposed to be joining. Paddy's on a works call, guys, at 5:45 on a Friday afternoon. Pete, you're the one that tends to be working late on a Friday, or up to the end of the clock. So I don't know what Paddy's doing, but
he's probably transatlantic, probably.
Yeah, I'm 35,000 feet up, guys. Yeah, it's hard to download. I love that little, that subtle the way he says that. What's he said for a podcast? Yeah, but it's hard to download that at 35,000 feet. You know what I'm saying?
I mention? I'm on the red eye back from LA.
I'm just heading over to the States, guys. Pond side. Do you know what the controversy this week was, boys? The big controversy was it. You know, if you think about some of the things, the events that happened this week, right? Boris now caught with champagne, drinking more champagne. Oh, did they actually get any work done in that place? He was caught again having another party. So I thought that was quite controversial. But no, we've seen that before. Starmer getting lynched was quite controversial. And then I thought, the most controversial thing I saw, really, the most outrage amongst British people, was the American spelling in Wordle. people were outraged about that, were they? Bloody hell! What's going on?
Because I like the word.
It was humour, but of course they don't use a U, do they? Which makes a bit of sense, really. But because I started doing it, I thought, hang on a second, I realised the word I wanted to fit in there didn't really fit. I thought it could only be that. And I realised, this is American. Surely they would have thought of that, though. The British people didn't like that, you know? And but I love the way a lot of people just went mad about that on Twitter and stuff. You know, it was a real world issue there. But I beat you today, Pete, didn't I, in the Wordle?
It looks like that, you got it in four today. I struggled today, but got it in six.
In six, you can't really, there's no other words, is there? No other letters, really.
You run out by then, don't you?
It was hard, though. Ulsa was the thing. Do you know what? Go on.
The key is what you get, for, like, I got the ER first, but that doesn't really help. Because
I got that.
No, but then if you get the L, the second one, there's only limited, other words, so that it helps. So if you get U, the first, that helps. So. Yeah. That's the thing.
I don't think the word ulcer would ever pop into my mind thinking of words, to be honest.
It may pop into your cheek, in your mouth.
Yeah.
Do you know how I got it before you, Pete?
You looked it up on Twitter?
No, I did it with my kids on my mobile first, right? And I got to row 5. I thought, I don't know what that is. Oh, yeah. And then I went on my laptop. Obviously, a different thing. I got it in 3 goes. Yay!
Okay. Well, it still took you another 3 goes.
I know. I'm like, what is it? I can't understand. And then, just before I came on now, recording this now, Monty and Fred, my sons, are going to the in-laws because I'm going to Cardiff to watch Wales, Scotland. Monty just called me and said, Dad, what's the Wordle word today? I said, what? What's the Wordle word? I said, ulcer. Can you text it to me? Yeah. So all kids will do now is just insert that in the first row.
Yeah.
And then you think you've done it. The kids don't care about cheating. It's like...
Well, your kids, yeah.
No, I felt a little bit bad about doing it on two different...
Well, you turn the wrong word, so it makes him... He doesn't get it then.
Nice.
But, that'll learn him. But no, kids are like that, though. They don't care if they cheat and they win. You play games with them, honestly, small games... And if they cheat and win, they don't mind. They just still see it as winning. They don't have that, that inbuilt sort of...
You're kind of like that, though, aren't you?
No, I'm. Come on, I'm ethical to a certain extent. The kids don't see that. They don't care. It's like, even, do you know what's odd? Is when they do sports races in school and stuff, and they get a sticker for coming somewhere, they think they've won.
Well, that's just, that's poor. A medal for turning up,
Because I remember saying to Fred, you came third there. No, I didn't. I got a medal for it. And have you seen that rap thing on, I think it's on Instagram or or TikTok, some of the guys, some of the millennials, and they think they're all overconfident and entitled because of that. They think everyone gets a reward, you know? And so yeah. They start up their life. They're in a coffee shop, you know, jobless pretty much. They think they're going to be a billionaire by the time they're 30. I quite like that. In life, you do lose at things. That's the whole thing. You've got to lose, haven't you, really?
Yeah.
To teach you a lesson, you think, oh, that's quite hard, actually. Now, you've got a choice. Either you quit and you don't get any better, or you work hard at it and get better. It's the same with investing. Same with investing, yes. Boys.
Oh, nice. Segue. See?
Yeah, it's true, isn't it, right? Oh, by the way, we've got a question asked by Steve. It's a very good question, actually. I don't know if you've seen it, Pete. I think you have, because you texted.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, so basically, right, I talk about investing a lot in the club. People are struggling because it's been the hardest, I say, you know, it's almost 12 mm-hmm. months now, probably 8-9 months, actually, in microcap space. And but the thing is, that's the way it is. It's not always going to be easy, you know? The good times come the bad. But anyway, let's go with Steve's, because I talked about this bit in this question. Pete, stroke Steve, ask your question, please. Ask your question.
Go on, Steve.
Go on, Pete.
Go on. So my question was, the economy seems to be rebounding based on the data released this week. And yet Friday, we see a sell-off and we see the markets drop. Why?
Yes. Well, what is the data? What's the data that's showing good stuff? What is it? You have any idea?
What is the data? I'll get it up. Hold on.
Oh, keep it clean, Pete. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
So was it GDP? Sort of GDP for the last 12 months?
GDP for the last 12 months, that's what it is.
Yeah, by 7.5%. December was a bit of a weak month, though, December, because of the government restrictions. But
and
yeah,
despite that, it's still positive.
Well, as you know, if you heard the phrase, the old, when America sneezes, you know, the rest of the world catches the cold, markets-wise.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw that. Oddly, growth by 7.5% in the UK, mm-hmm. inflation in America, 7.5%. So essentially, there's no growth. I mean, if you put them together, obviously different economies, but if our inflation is 7.5% for the last year, and you know, we've grown by 7.5%, that's nothing. So we haven't done anything. But the reason why it's sold off is America, essentially, because they've been a bit slow on raising the interest rates. The Fed, the head of the Fed, Jerome Powell. Hey, I'm the head of the Fed. My name's Jerome. But he's literally been printing money like crazy. It's a good meme, actually, on Twitter. It shows a picture of him just rolling something and dollars spinning out of this thing. Printing money! So that's been happening. And the worry is, inflation worry, or more accurately, it's not inflation, it's the interest rate hike to pull in, to rein in inflation, you know?
It's the fear of that happening. Mm.
Yeah, because sometimes it's a good news, bad news, or bad news, good news, you know? So what happens is with the Fed, for example, if there's very good economic data and they're not raising rates, they're still low. At least over here, they've risen by 0.25% so far. Over there, haven't done it. And they've ploughed, you know, billions and billions, trillions, actually, into the economy, buying bonds and such. So it's inflated asset prices. So they've ploughed loads in. And they're starting to worry now. Every time they get good employment data, for example, the market sells off because they realise the Fed's going to have to rein in the growth because there's too much inflation, and that means raising interest rates. And interest rates, of course, is not good for growth. It'll slow things down. But do you know what? As an investor, though, right, you should not worry too much about the market sell-offs like this. Don't worry about it. If you hold, I say, all you can do is look at the individual companies you have. If they are growing, by that, I mean, with us, we look at microcaps. So, I mean, top-line growth. If they're improving, that means their margins are same, but they're growing or improving, for example, and decent valuations. It's fine. You'll get a better return on that over the long term than you will holding cash. So, and I said, you know, I tweeted out earlier on, if you sell an improving business just because the share price has gone down, your emotions are in control. You're worried about the share price going down, so you sell. If you buy an improving business because the share price goes down, your brain is in control. You are thinking about it. You are researching the company because, of course, if the share price goes down, the valuation of the company goes down. If that company is turning over the same amount or more over the next few years, then it becomes a better opportunity, isn't it? It's a more investable proposition. So the best way to lose money anywhere in the market is to sell a good business at a low because the share price has gone down. Volatility is normal, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, if you think about it now, how long have you been investing?
Oh, about 1 million years or something?
Yeah,
How long was it?
For me?
About 5 or 6 years, yeah.
Yeah, you're a bit longer than me, Pete.
Well, probably 10 or 12 years for me, but I haven't really got... I mean, it was in the last 5 or 6 years I've kind of got into it like this.
Yeah. So you look at it, right? So I've been investing now for 20 years, pretty much, on and off. You know, it's like dot-com crash. And so I've had the dot-com crash, the great financial crash, the pandemic crash, and I, you know, experienced three big stock market crashes. Each one has supposedly, from the doomsayers, been the big scary one, like no other, where stocks will implode and never return again. Let's be honest, we've gone through world wars. Stock market has always been this, always bounced back. It's always gone higher, you know? So it's the worry. The people just worry about it. They sell at the low. That's the worst thing to do. I mean, the hardest thing to do is do nothing, absolutely nothing, because the markets are volatile. And the thing is, if you're watching the markets too much and look at the macro too much, you get worried out of the stock. A good business, just get worried out of it. I mean, when you think about it, if it's a non-listed business you're invested in, you've got your money in a non-listed business. Like Steve, for example, you've got your own business there, right? Would you chuck in the towel in your business because the interest rates may go up next week?
Yeah.
Good. That's it.
No, I wouldn't, no.
Exactly. Or, you know, there's a bit of inflation going on. I mean, the trouble is, when a company is listed, people see real sentiment and fear that affects share prices, and they start selling off. I mean,
but you know, the frustration of this week was the sell-off on Friday, you know, coincided with the positive news about the economy rebounding.
But I
get the bigger picture and the looking forward, and that's why it's selling off and we're on a downward trend now. But you get some good news like that, kind of, you'd like to think it reassures people that, you know.
Yeah, it is though, isn't it? I mean, we are bouncing back faster than before, but there's a worry about inflation. I say interest rates may choke off growth. But, but do you know what? When it gets, when you talk about, I sort of tweeted out on Twitter there, in fact, remind me, there's a Twitter poll I need to look at. And I say, have you changed your investing style over the last 6 months, you know? And some people have, some people haven't, and all that stuff. But I repeat, the way to make money in the stock market is to hold good, improving businesses, you know, for a while when they're really firing on all four cylinders, you know? In short, just do nothing. If you're in good stocks, value decently, they're growing, they're in good areas, and it's a lot harder to do nothing than just saying it. You know, it really is hard because it's so tempting to get caught up in the fear of it all. But volatility is there. It happens. It happens all the time. I mean, it's been worse recently, but you know what? That probably means it's going to get better, the markets. I don't know how long it'll take, but it will get better. It's been seen before when you have long periods of downturns, you tend to have good periods of upturns. Why? Because all these businesses that are getting better, their valuations are getting better. You know, they're being more attractive as assets, as investments. So, you know, if you don't need the money urgently right now, why would people sell? Apart from getting scared. I don't understand why.
Exactly. Why?
I mean, you know, the company you're invested in is only going to bust. Don't keep looking at your portfolio value because that will scare you. You haven't lost any money until you sell. And why accept a bad price? You know, you've got to play hardball with the market. That's it. You know, the market will offer you stupid prices sometimes. But you can't just get scared out of it and say, oh, go on then. Yeah, I'll sell it. Even though I bought it at, you know, 10 pence, I'm going to sell it at 5 pence. Yep. Why? Why do that?
I know.
It's funny. When I first started, I used to panic when, like, you'd see, like, a £100 loss or something, you know. Like, quite regularly now, you'll see a couple of £1,000 and my portfolio disappear. And I'm like, oh, well. You think, oh, God.
That's Harry and Larry, that is.
Yeah.
£100 with a couple of grand disappear. Yeah. Steve wonder what was that. The ship price has gone down when you take them out.
Steve, that's at the weekend as well, so that's a bit weird.
Saturday afternoon trading.
And you look on, you know, Harry and Larry's Instagram, they have big parties on the boat. Hey, all right. So, thanks, Steve.
Steve.
The thing is, it comes to this. It's a bit like haggling. The people who get the good price win. And that means when you buy in and when you sell as well. You've got to buy a good company at a cheap valuation or decent valuation, then sell at a very good valuation when it's firing on all four cylinders. Like companies I'm investing in right now, you know, I suppose the first one is going to be Escape and is profitable, right? What's the next one? Probably Gfinity is going to be profitable next. So why are we selling them? If anyone's selling them right now, why are people selling these, dumping, you know, the entire holding of the companies when they're nowhere near what they're going to achieve? They've only just started. They just started. You've got to give them, a few years from even being profitable. And then that's when they start really, you know, motoring. So, but I was just thinking, do you know what I'm confused with inflation, right? I don't understand this. If you think about it, inflation, you know, do you know what they say, and this is very appropriate, they say the cure for the high oil price is a high oil price. Do you know what that means?
No.
Steve?
It needs to go high to go higher.
What's that game on with the game, well, catchphrase, is it? Yeah. Oh, it's close, Steve. It's not quite there, actually.
Say what you see.
Yeah, say what you see. No, but basically, yeah, if oil goes up, right, then mm-hmm. it gets too expensive, people start using less of it. So what happens is less demand, it goes down. You know, and so the cure for high oil prices, you know, because in the end, people start using less of it because they think, oh, petrol's... And if you think of it, the cure for high inflation is high inflation. But inflation is better than deflation, because if you look at the basics, the difference between growth and reduction, you know, inflation, deflation. So if you look at it, what's the main contributor at the moment to high prices?
Energy.
Yes. Not just, you know, us moving around and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But so everything uses energy, doesn't it? All businesses, all people. You know, so if this price increases, this reduces companies' margins, right? So in an inflationary environment. So they increase their margins by putting their prices up. And people also like to pay for energy in their homes, put fuel in their cars. So they'll have to make a decision, right, on what not to buy. But essentially, people will be more careful, won't they? If prices are going up, they'll be a bit more discretionary. But as long as they're still employed, you know, and everything's growing, the economy's growing, it's fine. They can choose what they want to buy more carefully. So this leads to less purchases of certain goods. This leads to less being produced of those goods. This means less energy is needed, and so the price of energy will start to go down. So it solves itself, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah.
And then people ask for wage increases to keep up with rising costs. Some people get them. As inflation turns to a new normal, their cost of living, you know, isn't as bad because they've had a wage increase. Inflation's come down a little bit. And so the cost of living isn't impacted as much, which keeps demand sort of consistent and the growth in existence. I'm just thinking about it. If you look at the stocks we're invested in, right? And everyone's talking about, you know, prices going up, you know, 7.5% in America. It's close to that here. Let's say we do 10% inflation here across that basket of goods that we talk about, you know, for inflation. Would that 10% increase across the basket of goods, probably more than that, but would it radically change your shopping behaviour?
No,
I mean, so we all worry about it. People are like, oh, I just noticed pasta's gone up by like 30 pence. Yeah, but you still buy it, didn't you? It's like, you don't stop buying it. Yeah, so until it gets to the stage where you can't afford it, then it's not going to change your outlook a lot. So everyone gets worried about it, you know? And this is why...
No, but a certain level of society would feel that pinch more, wouldn't they?
Yes, but it's not the majority of people, is it, I don't think?
Probably not.
I'm not going to say, oh, you know, we can't go out for a meal now this month or whatever, for a nice treat ourselves to a meal or cinema because prices are going up by 10%.
Some people will. I mean, quite. I don't know about the majority, not the majority, but a large chunk of people will have to start tightening their belt a bit.
Oh, yeah, but but what kind of things do you cut back on? I'm already thinking about, you know, I mean, you know, we got our bill, the electricity bill and something. You do start thinking psychologically, what can I cut back on? First thing I'm going to cut is Amazon Prime. I don't really use that. I don't care for things. Mm. In fact, it encourages the buy stuff, Amazon Prime. In fact, it's been a massive knock for Amazon because I not only cut their subscription service, but I don't know what is it, 7-8 quid a month or something, or what is it? I don't know what it is. Yeah. But I'll order less as well because I get less, the postage and packaging goes up. So things like that. But I mean, for example, if you look at where we're invested, right, would you stop, for example, going for Gvinity, to go on a website, stuff that, would you stop maybe having the odd treat to an escape room or boom battle bar? That I don't think that would be affected. In previous times where inflation's happened, those kind of things don't get affected. People are always going to treat themselves. People pretty much always go on holidays in high inflation times. But you do start a penny pinch about stuff you don't really, you know, that's on a regular basis you have. They think, oh, what actually don't we use? You know, don't they? So I don't think that the leisure hospitality would get affected, or any of that kind of stuff. Because, but what's worse is interest rates. So central banks mess around, right? Because they've got to put a little break on the inflation. But if they mess around too much and rise interest rates, that's bad because that stifles growth because that rises the cost of debt. So all companies sort of get affected. Any companies with debt, people then have problems buying new houses because the mortgages go up. So that stifles that. And then you get there. So this is the worst form of inflation, really, because, of course, the cost of living goes up because you can't... Everything, if you've got loans, anything goes up. Everything goes up. So So in this scenario, companies will stop growing. They'll produce less because they cost more. They'll probably lay people off. Those people then will make radical buying decisions, won't they? They won't just say, oh, I won't just go out once a week or once or twice a week. They'll stop going out completely because they can't afford it. They get on a job. So yeah. You mustn't stop growth. Growth will keep happening. So, and also central banks are so in debt, massively in debt, so they can't afford to like to just hike up interest rates. So it's all this sell-off is ridiculous. I just think it's just calm down, everyone. You know, inflation is not bad. I mean, you know, we do have a target of 2%, okay, it's above that. But it's going to happen. It's got them down at this. And people, oh, recession, oh, big deal. Just, again, the hardest thing to do is hold on to good businesses.
Yeah. I do find it funny, though, and we said this a lot, and I said it earlier, but, like, you know, small caps being sold off when, you know, in reaction to macro news and this. Yeah, I find that bizarre because it's not like, well, why? Why would you sell that now?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's disconnected to that. I mean, it's connected. It's all connected in a way. But I think it's a very weird thing to do. But whether that's just short-term trading and whatever, and people...
sentiment, fear. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then buying at a lower price. But I don't get that kind of mentality. Yeah, but I suppose it's just part of past investing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know, I put this poll out here, right? It's funny the kind of responses. I read that book on psychology of investing. I had the guy on the podcast once, and he was saying, whatever gives you the first big loss you have can shape your trading or investing future. But be careful because it may mess you up. And so if you take a big loss on a company that's a bit of a hope-hype potential stock, and you think this was the one, and you put a load of money into it, and you go overexposed on it and go nuts on it, and you lose a lot of money, then from then on, you probably become a trader. You know, you start top slicing here and there, putting stop losses in, and you never actually give yourself the chance to get big profits because you're scared it'll come back down.
I never did.
What did you do?
Well, I made a big loss pretty much as soon as I went in. I went all in and, pretty much lost all of that.
You're a special being, Steve.
Cool.
You shouldn't have bias of that. So some people said, I'm definitely going to have a stop loss on all my shares now. When you think your share price is going lower, it often does. That, to me, that's trading. It's not investing, you know? Now, like I said, if you are in a good company and you've done lots of research on a company and you can see the fundamental metrics, the financial reports are getting better, you know, the growth is there, share prices go down, it makes a more investable proposition. It's a better business. It's better valued. It's cheaper. Why would you put a stop loss on that and actually crystallize your loss? It doesn't make any sense, you know? So, in fact, one guy said the company he would have sold this week because it dipped, but he didn't. He knows it's an improving business. He's going to learn here. So someone said, don't just buy and hold. No, do you know what? I think some of the people, you've got to understand the kind of company here. You can't just buy and hold a company you haven't researched. I know, but if it's like... I don't know if you saw one of the worst performing stocks of ever is Omega Diagnostics. It was one of these hope hype potential stocks based on lateral flow tests. You know, it went from, if you look at the chart during the pandemic, it came out with it's going to be you know, one of the ones. A couple of guys on Twitter hooked onto it saying this is the next big one. You know, because Novacyt was one of the best performers in that area, and so in April 9th, 2020, it was at 9 pence a share. All right. And it went up to 120 a share in October, by October that year. Came back down to the 27th of November to 40 pence. So it went from 120 to 40 pence. A lot more hype around it, saying, oh, contracts are coming from the NHS and all that from the Department of Health. So it rallied again, back up to 120 then by February. And it slowly ground lower and lower and lower. Didn't land any contracts, I don't think, from the NHS. All the metrics, the losses, we did it, half year results came out a while back, and the losses have gone by tenfold. They've grown their revenue by 80%, but they paid for that via, I don't know, marketing and investment, and so their losses have gone from £250,000 to close to £3 million, you know? So the losses are. Now, that's not a lie. If you look at that statement, that company is not improving, regardless of what you hope you have in that company. And there was a lot of people just hope. You can't invest on hope. You know, that's a dangerous thing to do. If you do invest on hope, you've got to get in very early when they're like a sub 10 million market cap. If you are investing in a company that's 100 million market cap and it's got very little revenue and it's valued 150 million, you've missed the boat, absolutely. And if lots of people on Twitter are bullish on it, and 150 million and all contracts going to come. That's not an investment thesis. That's just hope, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't just rely.
And today, that's down to, well, below 6p.
It's now
a market cap of 10.7.
Yeah, it's now actually gone from 1.20 to 5.8p. Yeah, and a lot of people, sadly, being burnt in that. So one guy today saying that he's put all his savings in that. So first and foremost, if you're going to invest in a company that you think is the next big thing, you've got to invest very early on with a low market cap. And secondly, don't put all your money into it. Because if you're basing it on hype alone and hope alone, that's not an investment thesis, you know?
No.
Have you watched, did you watch Dragon's Den?
For a while, not for many years. But yeah, I have seen it previously.
The new guy's in it, Stephen Bartlett. He's only 28. He's got a social media business worth about 300 million quid. But he's good. Mm. And he came from like being skint in Manchester, really absolutely skint, not affording money, and he's done so well. And he's on the ball. And you realise what Dragon's Den need are more young people, entrepreneurs, you know? And the rest of them are a bit of fuddy-duddies now. And I just think, and Tuca, for example. Tuca needs to get off there. He could be there for ages, isn't he? But it's good, but... As you see a lot of people coming to Dragon's Den, pitching their businesses, and they all say, "No, I believe this will be the next big thing. I believe this." I said, "Of course you would. So you put all your money into it, you know? But you've got no revenue proving that." And yet, that's the same with investors in small cap companies, where it's risen so much, and they say, "No, I believe this is going to be huge." Yeah, but you believe that, but that's blind faith. You know, it's like any belief. It's like religion. You can't prove it to a certain extent, but you believe it's going to happen. Now, that's okay with religion because you're not investing money into it. But with a business, you can't just invest in it because I believe this is it. I really do. That's just hope. It's not going to work out, is it?
No, absolutely. I mean, there are then just some fundamentals that we all know of investing in terms of spreading the risk and diversifying a little bit and all of that, not putting all your eggs in one basket and all that stuff can help mitigate the potential.
Yeah, absolutely. I have put a chunk in. In a hope high potential stock, because you can do very well on them. I mean, I've done well on a few of those, but I now prefer sustainable long term rises based on fundamentals. Yeah. And by fundamentals, I mean, revenue, profits, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But in fact, on Dragon's Den, very interesting, an escape room guys came in. And, and Stephen Bartlett was very down in it. So I don't want to invest in an escape room, it's been done. It's all, and these guys started like 2 years ago and they've been very well. One escape room, they believe they're going to be the next big franchise and all this. They believe that as well. And the revenue is fine. But it did get investment, I think, from two dragons. But they want to start a franchise, And they said, well, until they're not making profit at all. They only just started like 2 years ago. And I thought it's very interesting because, Stephen Bartlett is very big on Instagram. He's got loads of followers in there. He's very social media influencer. And he said, well, you can't Instagram that kind of stuff, And it's very interesting because in Boom Battle Bar is very Instagrammable, but escape rooms can't. You can't Instagram it because obviously it's all secrets there. But the thing is, this is what happens. See, when a new leisure sector becomes very popular, and it has with escape rooms, a lot of businesses jump into it, of course, because money can be made. And then businesses are starting out now, I think, or have done so in the last 2 years, probably not survive in the escape room business. In fact, if you look at the first broker note about 2 years ago, I read about escape rooms. They said there'd be consolidation in the sector, like there was in bowling, like 10, 15 years ago, There's only room for a few big operators. And I think escape room will be one of those because now they're starting to make a profit. They are, listed, so access to capital. They have one of the biggest operations as well. Plus, they're going to have Boom Battle Bars as well, which is also Instagrammable. It's all growing. So it's funny, isn't it? You realise it'll be the end, start of the end for a lot of businesses who start out in the last year or so for escape rooms because you're not big enough now. You'll be if you're a good small independent operator, you'll probably be taken out and bought out. But if you're average, you just you won't work. You'll fail.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw what happened with the XP Factory on Friday. There's someone sold. It wasn't a huge share, 13 grand someone sold, but it took the share price down, which is annoying. The last few...
It sort of knocked, didn't it?
All it takes, 13 grand, for it to shoot down?
Yeah, I think someone just put it through in one chunk of that, and... I think so. I think that's all I saw. So 13 grand, and it went down, so it was really annoying. I thought, bloody hell. The thing is, it'll bounce, sometimes it'll just bounce on the Monday, because that's out the way. But also, on a day when everything's going down, there's lack of liquidity in the markets. That's what it's about, liquidity, isn't it? And market makers will just mark it down anyway and say, oh, I don't want to take that on because there's too much bearishness in the market. And they rip the market off. No, but if you look at it, right, look at the revenue, right, Escapement now is valued at 40 million. They've got about 10 million in cash. So that's, 13 million enterprise value, no debt, mm-hmm. pretty much. Mm-hmm. Their trading update, H2, like I said, this was on only escape rooms owner-operated. Nothing else, no franchises, no boom battle bars, no remote play, no virtual play. That. So they did 5.1 million revenue for the second half. This is with a very weak December. I don't know if you saw the ONS stats out saying December took a big knock in leisure and hospitality because of the COVID restrictions.
Omicron.
Yeah. So even if they replicate this, right, for H1, H2 this year, that'll be 10 million just on escape and owner-operated, not franchises or anything like that. Plus, added more sites as well. They'll be adding more sites. Add to this franchises, remote play, at-home play, all that stuff, and plus a strong December, hopefully, that'll happen. Even just escape rooms will be doing 12 million alone. Now, it's up an EV of 30 million. Then add that to boom battle bars, which will double that again, pretty much. You're talking about 24, 25 million in revenue, which is literally less than, one and a half times sales.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about that for like a fast-growing market leader, profitable, experiential leisure business, and this is just a start. We're nowhere near running out all the boom battle bars. This is cheap now. Do your valuations on it. It's cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap. Gotta buy when it's cheap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think we know you're a fan.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I'm pretty happy with all my portfolio. It's just it's always frustrating to see things grind lower and for a long period like we're going through now. But you just I'm happy with the companies. You've just got to wait it out. You got to be patient, haven't you? So
yeah. I want Truefin to come out. I'm sure it's we're not far away from some Truefin news. I do see on their LinkedIn page they are expanding Satago. They said they're going through an exciting growth phase.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, cool. And they're recruiting. I wonder why. That's going to happen, that is. That's going to happen. And they said that other things are happening as well in the background. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It'll be one of those fast-growing... in fact, I saw a guy, I got an alert on that this morning. A guy, three tech companies to look at. It was like Visa, PayPal and Truefin. I don't know. This blogger. I
really?
Thought, what, really? Yeah.
Okay.
So that's really interesting. Cool. What are the stocks there? It's been Biome's taking a knock as well.
Yeah, Biome. I was going to say Biome's taking a knock. It's a frustrating one, but GFIN is up and down like the proverbial. That's it.
Apparently, trading update should be out soon on that. And
GFIN.
Yeah. So the thing is, right? I think the brokers now. I mean, after Plarium, you always got to live and learn. After Plarium, brokers had 90% chance of FDA approval. You realise. Never take what the broker's thing is as read, Because,
no.
Because you've got to do your... With Gfinity now, they're... I'm not saying they're wrong, they're brokers, but they've got 78% revenue growth in for this year. So that's going from 5.6 to 9.4 million. Now, I'm happy with, in excess of 20%, But I'd like to see about 35%, maybe 30, 40% for that. So I'm going to halve that and say, I'll be happy if they do, 40% this year easily. And so... For the trading update for H1 in 2022, I'll be happy with 3.6 or 3.7 million to get to double that for the year, because that's still good growth, especially if the margins are the same or better. But sometimes people get carried away. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's a frustrating share, but we're on about five times last year's sales. So that's round about peers group valuations. So it's not expensive. But there we are. Yeah, it's frustrating and annoying.
Yeah.
I've also bought another share, which next time we talk, I'll probably talk about.
Oh, okay.
I mentioned it on my webinar on the Share Pickers Investment Club. By the way, that's opened up this week. Opened up for 1 month only. It's opened up for free. So if you're listening to this or you join up in the club, 1 month only for new members. And then...
What about renewals?
Yeah, renewals. Yes, they can renew, of course. But there's a cap on numbers. Where's a cap on numbers? I don't mean, physical.
Branded cap.
I mean the amount of people let in. I don't mean seeing the physical numbers with little hats on.
Right. Okay.
That makes sense.
No, that's Steve's a bit gutted. He was hoping you'd get one through the post.
I've got one, Pete.
Yeah, well, share pickers.
Yeah, what you doing? I've got the badge, the stick, the cap, the T-shirt, everything. So
maybe we should get some merch. You know?
Yeah, I think it's time.
This guy's on. This guy. My kids watch YouTube and all that. More TikTok now, but this guy's like TikTok. They sell merch. I think he's buying merch of these, and you realise they've got.
No. We're not quite the same as TikTok, though, are we?
No. But there's people buying merch now from these guys. They're doing the most rubbish, stupid things on TikTok, and they're selling merch. Who's buying this? And Fred and Monty look at me like, why shouldn't people buy that?
What merch we go for, share pickers? How about a pair of Speedos?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we should do a cap, which is basically the same as your bald head.
That's nice.
That's nice.
That's really nice. Yeah. Well, or a swimming cap. There's like with the Speedos. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, that's nice. That. Can you source that, Steve?
Yeah, I saw.
Head of merch, Steve.
That'd be something to do with shares as well, though, wouldn't it? You know, just not.
Oh, okay. Calculator.
Creative. So a swimming cap with a bald hat colour, skin colour, with a calculator on it.
Yeah, and Pete used to work in a creative department.
Yeah, and that's why I don't anymore.
Maybe a T-shirt with the shares I own, target prices on them. We're quite nice. Walking around, you know, XPF £1 by December. You know, sort of things like that. Yep. We're good at that.
Yeah,
one with like a little sewn in, like little screen or something, and you can have your live updates, your shares, and
nice.
T-shirt.
Can you get those now? I'm sure I saw someone on Dragon's Den do that years ago.
Like, I've certainly seen them over Christmas with like scrolling Christmas messages and stuff, so they're halfway there. Hey, that'd be good, yeah. Like you're scrolling stocks on your
like
t-shirt.
A ticker,
yeah,
like
that'd
a
be
ticker
good. Just buy.
Your live portfolio on your T-shirt.
That'd be good.
Quite weird. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's try it.
What's the budget?
Yeah.
£1 million.
Going to buy cheap, you know. It's so expensive. It's going to be very cheap quality. Very cheap. Right. No guarantee. If it falls apart after, you know, all those glitches in the matrix there, whatever it is, then, you know, you can't get your money back. No.
Yeah. That would be good. That's a good thing. I'd have that on your website. Extremely poor merchandise.
Extremely poor quality. Do not ask for your money back.
Really poor quality merchandise.
It is overpriced tat.
Guaranteed to last less than a month.
Yeah. Just entitle it overpriced tat. Yeah. That's what it is.
That's it. There we go.
So people come back. Well, what are you expecting? It's on the website. Yeah. Overpriced tat. You bought it. It's not working. Come on. Heaven's sake, you got a quid from China. What do you expect? Well, I'm charging you £10, but listen, you know, that's what it is.
A complete waste of money.
Yeah. I see England, I mentioned that, England copying Wales' tactic last week in the Six Nations.
You know, well, lulling. The Six Nations starts tomorrow, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was last week.
No, that was warm-up games.
Who are you playing tomorrow?
No, we're playing Sunday.
We're
playing Italy. We're playing the game.
Well, I should get a win in your belt there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think Wales get a win in the belt. Scotland, I think Scotland are looking okay, isn't they?
Well, Scotland look pretty good. So, I mean,
are
England,
they though?
England threw it away a little bit. Let's be honest.
You know, I gotta say, I didn't actually see it. I don't know where I was out somewhere. I think, but I didn't actually see it. So,
well, there's a penalty try to Scotland that swung it. But you know, Scotland were playing well, so I'm not gonna say it was completely down to that, but we didn't help ourselves. But unfortunate start. It's always annoying to lose the first game because that means your Grand Slam aspirations are gone. Although you can't win the Grand Slam now. But anyway, I think Wales might very well struggle against Scotland.
Yeah, I think they may struggle against Italy. They were aimless against Ireland, even when they had the ball. They didn't seem to know what is it. You know, saying, guys, come on, you must know where the try line is. Isn't that taught at the basic level there? Just run that way.
I think so.
Try not to drop the ball. When it's past you, just you know, hold it in your hands. Right? It didn't seem like they know. It's funny that, you know, a team, you know, international standards, they play sometimes. You think, what's going on here? They just seem like they've just started playing. Even the basics failed them. So it's very odd. But there we are. Anything worth, Steve, anything worth watching on TV you've been watching or listening to or anything like that? I tell you what I found out. Listeners, Joe Rogan, the best publicity ever. The best publicity ever, wasn't it, for him? mean, because everyone's checking him out now. So, who's this guy, Joe Rogan? I bet now he had 11 million listeners per episode, man. But I bet that's almost doubled because you couldn't get better publicity than that. But I find him a bit boring.
I haven't listened to any of them ever.
He's not a fan of our podcast either, to be honest.
Well, he should be.
Yeah.
It's better than it is.
Yeah.
But I think he's got the stage now. He's so relaxed. He just starts chatting. There seems no drive or motivation there, you know. It's,
right.
But someone said to me, his demographic is truckers. So they just put it on and listen for hours, you know, because they're driving for hours on end around America and Canada. But, yeah, I've never been into it. Steve, any recommendations?
Well, as you know, last weekend, this week I watched The Tinder Swindler. That's a good watch. A good
I've heard about that. What do you mean, as you know? I didn't know about that. What do you mean, as you know?
I sent it in the group, didn't I? I said Tinder Swindler.
Yes, you did.
Worth a watch.
Right, okay.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's definitely... It's only a one pass as well, like 2 hours, like watching a film. So, yeah, that's definitely... Give that a go.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for reminding me, because I saw it yesterday, a couple of times mentioned, and people on Twitter say, I can't believe this guy. Is he just asking women for money or something? Really?
Yeah, he basically scams women out of money from meeting them on Tinder. But it's the story, kind of the scam's quite interesting when you see how it's all put together.
Where is he now?
Steve's taking notes there.
Yeah.
Mm. What's that?
Where is he now?
Well, that spoils the ending, didn't it?
Is he still doing it or not? Oh, in fact, that pretty spoils the ending.
I'm not going to say anything. Just watch it. But another thing I started watching last night, which seemed really boring, I only watched it because it had Kirsten Bell in it. It was the longest title ever in the world. The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay. Well, good.
Starts off really boring, but it's starting to get a bit good now.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yeah. But the first episode and a half is, yeah, just like, it just doesn't go anywhere.
Right, okay.
Mm. Oh, okay, cool. All right. What about you, Peter?
I've eventually watched pretty much all of Ted Lasso now. I know everyone was raving about it. I never got into it, but I have now got into it. It is quite good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit weird, but we've
gone to, oddly,
yeah.
I don't know if we finished that or not, but yeah. We're into it. But we're watching the Ozarks again, so we can get back at the start again. So, because the thing is, you know what? It's nuts. You watch the Ozarks again. It's not called the Ozarks, it's called Ozark, isn't it? Watch that again. It's amazing how much I've forgotten. I'm thinking, I said, who's that guy then? I thought I knew this back to front. It's amazing. I think maybe I got dementia, but I may just watch it again and again.
Okay.
It is good, though. That's what
right, okay. I watched the first season. I didn't really watch beyond that, but yeah.
All right, boys.
Okay. All right, excellent.
Anything else?
Paddy turning up? No.
Okay, yeah, Paddy said, you know, call at 4:45. We've started at 6, so I should be there. Right. It's 6:45 now.
Yeah. Yeah. No sign.
I don't think he's coming.
I've got a feeling he's not coming.
No.
Okay.
All right, Steve may even see you tomorrow, fella, in Cardiff. You know,
come and see me doing my live outside broadcast in a bar.
Oh, is it outside? Yeah. Outside?
It's inside, but it's outside. You know,
outside broadcast. Okay, as I say, because it's the coldest day of the year tomorrow.
No, it's inside but outside.
It'll be drinking the ball. All right.
Wonderful.
Lovely. Goodbye.
All right. Enjoy.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.